thank you so much. Thank you, Matt, and all our team that led us in worship tonight and our kids' message. I'm telling you, I wish I had that jacket. I'm telling you, I wish I could pull that jacket off, but he does such a great job pulling that jacket off, but he does a great job in a lot of different things. If you know that Matt's been around here forever, he said, he also heads up, those of you that are maybe guests with us tonight, this church signed an agreement with Fellowship of Christian Athletes that have launched a complete program for a youth basketball and youth sports of all kinds is similar to the Upward Youth Program. And it's more in-depth, in my opinion. It's a phenomenal thing. And Matt heads up that program in Cobb County, as well as we are the pilot program for that sports program for students and kids and elementary students. And we're estimating in 2025, you continue to pray for us, at 2025, we estimate about 1,000 student athletes will be on this campus playing four different sports on this campus in our gym and our new green space over here. It's going to be an amazing, amazing opportunity. With that comes about 5,000 parents and friends that come on board on each individual Saturday that sports are being played. So continue to pray. Roswell Street has a great future, a great opportunity to reach Marietta and beyond with the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only through our sports, but our kids' ministry, our phenomenal music program, and all the different facets and platforms that God has. Our kids' program, our men's ministry launches again in January. Exciting days ahead here at Roswell Street. If you're in the area and you're not connected to a church home, hey, we invite you to be a part of what God has helped here. I say this all the time when I meet guests that come here to visit with us on any given Sunday, and they may be looking for a church home. I say it this way: hey, let us be your church home until you find one. Just let us be your church home. Let us be connected, connect with us until you find one. And if you find one, so be it. If you don't, we love to have you be a part of what God's here. You know, one of the things about Christmas is the music. It's one thing that it just, everything seems to be centered around the message, but the message is also, it's accelerated by the music that we sing. Several years ago, I had the privilege of speaking at a church during the Christmas season, and it was a Sunday that I was invited to come speak. It was their particular week that they launched their Christmas music program, and also it was their missions emphasis. This was their time where they were really pouring their heart into their missions emphasis. It was early in the season of Christmas, and it was one of those churches that back in the day we used to print a bulletin that had the order of service. It had everything listed, who was going to do what. The preacher could read where he was supposed to stand and where he was supposed to read scripture, and it had the, we called it the order of service, you know, back in the day. It's in the old bulletin, and I was reading it, this particular one. I had all the listings of the music that we're going to sing that day, and it got all the way down to the song just before I got up to preach, and the title was this: Angels We Have Heard, Get High. Now, I don't know that that's factual, to be quite honest with you. Angels may not get high, but you know, sometimes we just mess up. But one of the things that I have found about the Christmas season in my 42 plus years of ministry is that we need to try to be creative, but the same central theme of the Christmas story is the person of Jesus. Everything that we talk about during the Christmas season is about Jesus. It's about the gifts and the receiving and the giving of the gifts. And so several weeks ago, as I began to prepare for the Christmas season here at Roswell Street, the Lord just kind of really instructed me to start talking about the amazing gifts that we have. And so I have been in a three-part, now the final part of a four-part series called The Greatest Gifts Ever. Is the baby Jesus, the greatest gift that was ever given to us. And today, I want to talk to you about, in just for a few short minutes, about amazing love. We've been talking about abiding hope. We've been talking about authentic peace, awesome joy this past Sunday. And today, right now, in the next few moments, I want to talk about amazing love. Jesus came to give amazing love. And so I really walked through Scripture and really studied, and it took me back to this one verse of Scripture that indeed has been noted around the world as probably the most familiar verse of Scripture ever read or ever written or ever discussed or ever preached. And it's this one that Jesus says. Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life everlasting. That is known as John 3:16. John 3:16 is probably quoted more than anybody. It's probably memorized by more Christians around the world. But God gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. The entire purpose of Christmas can be summarized or described and summed up in this verse of Scripture. You see, dear friends, the purpose of Christmas is that God so loved the world. That means, by the way, he starts with love that he gave. Now, understand, I have a son who's 34 in a couple of days. He'll be 34 years old, lives here in the greater Atlanta area, and I'll be seeing him later on this evening as well and celebrating Christmas with them and tomorrow as well with our two granddaughters. It's going to be a fun time. But you see, I love my boy a lot. I love him deeply. I love my son. I love the man that he's becoming, the father that he's becoming, the husband that he's become. I love everything about him, and I'll tell you, I love you so much, but I would not give him up for you. But that's what God did. God gave the greatest gift in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the person of Christ. That is the greatest gift ever given. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And that is the whole reason for this season. You receive the greatest gift in the person of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul, he met this gift. He received this gift on a road called Damascus Road. He was walking on the road to Damascus and he met this true and heavenly Father. And he said in Romans chapter 8, there is there now no condemnation for those who are in condemnation, those who are in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to write to the church at Rome these words: he who did not spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give all things? Now, folks, let me tell you something. We're going to be swapping gifts. Maybe you already have some. You're going to be giving and receiving gifts. I don't know anybody that doesn't like to receive a gift. I've people say, well, I just don't like, I like giving. Now, that's a lie, to be quite honest with you. Everybody likes to receive a gift, right? Everybody likes to get something, right? You see, the greatest gift that's ever given mankind is the person of Jesus Christ. All gifts are wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. So for the next few moments tonight, I want to talk to you about the greatest gift as we unpack that. Now, how many of y'all have been like me? You've gotten that gift, and it was one big box, and you unpacked that box, and when you unpacked that box, there was another box to be unpacked. How many of y'all gone through that scenario where you had a big old gift and it had a big box and you were so excited it was kind of heavy and you unpacked it and then there was another gift inside that and then you unpacked that one, Matt, and then there was another gift that was inside that and then you unpacked that and then there was another gift inside that. It's one of those frustrating things, but when you get down to it, it's really kind of fun to see. That's exactly what the gift of amazing love is. God so loved the world that he gave the gift of amazing love, the person of Jesus Christ. The greatest of gifts of all is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. But those of us that are blessed to be called Christ followers, those of us that have received the gift of eternal life, we get bonus gifts. We get that one big box, and then we unpack the other box, and we call those the gifts that God gives to us. I did a study not long ago. Not long ago, I did this study, and I started thinking about gifts. I started thinking about the gifts in Scripture, and there are over 50 gifts listed in Scripture. There are 66 times the word gift or gifts is used in the New Testament alone. So there's over 50 gifts. So tonight we're going to discuss all 50 of them. Not really, we're not going to do that. I see the guys going, no, we're not doing that. Right? But there are 50 gifts. I want to talk to you about the greatest gift is the person of Jesus Christ, but I want to unpack that gift. I want to give you four things tonight that I believe that really helps us. What happens when we receive God's greatest gift, the person of Jesus Christ? I think these are key four smaller gifts for us to consider tonight. The first one is this. God gives us a new identity. A new identity. You cannot switch the television on. You can't turn on any network television programming, any kind of internet or any kind of network news, that somewhere along the way in that news cycle, the identity thing comes up. There's a lot of people talking about identity crisis, identity theft, identity situations. I've got a new identity. Well, when we receive the gift of the eternal life, we receive a new identity. Notice what it says, Paul writing to one of his favorite churches, the church at Corinth. He says these words to them in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. Very familiar for those of you that are followers of Jesus. When someone accepts Christ, he becomes a new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Jesus said it best this way. He says, if you follow my words, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we receive a new identity. The Apostle Paul, two-thirds writer of the New Testament that we studied today, he said these words in the Living Bible translation of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, his good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. Dear friends, gather in here close. Don't miss this. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you receive the gift of eternal life, heaven for your very own. Should you die, you spend eternity in heaven with him. But in the meantime, before he takes you home, guys, he gives you a brand new identity. A brand new identity, and it's pleasing, and it's perfect, and he has a perfect plan and perfect will for your life. The second of the smaller gifts inside the big box is he gives me a new ability. A new ability. I am dumbfounded of the tremendous ability that people that I encounter. I have the privilege of traveling around the country and around the world for that matter, and I see people with so many incredible gifts and abilities. But we get a new ability in the person of Christ. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 5, again, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, when he saves us, he gives us this gift of eternal life. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit indwelled in our lives. That's how big God is. That's how unmeasurable his grace is in our lives. He gives us the gift of eternal life. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Notice what Philippians letter says, these words. Now God works in you, giving you both the desire and the ability to fulfill good purposes for you. Oh, my dear friends, not only do we get a new identity, we get a new ability. And the third small box inside the large box, God gives us a new community. A new community. We talk about that. Now, this is kind of a churchy term, so forgive me if you're not connected to a New Testament church, but here's what we do in church work. We talk about community. And I often wonder, Johnny, when we talk about that kind of stuff, that people that don't go to church, that don't attend a gathering, they don't understand what we're talking about. They say, oh, my goodness gracious, you mean you're going to move me to a new section of town? No, what I'm saying is when you receive Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you have new family. Now, they may not come alongside you in every aspect of your life, but they will walk in journey with you, and they will be part of you, and they will spend time with you, and they will help you grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We build a new community. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us, and he did this because he wanted 2. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, the family is the church of the living God to support and support and foundation of the truth. So when you receive Christ, you get a new identity, you get a new ability, and you get a new community. You get new friends. You say, well, I like my old friends. Well, if you're lost without Jesus Christ in your life, your old friends are the reason you're lost without Jesus Christ, maybe, right? Sometimes we need a new set of friends. That's not to say that we should not be involved in their lives, because you've got this new salvation, this new identity in your life, a new ability in your life, but you have a new community that will walk with you. So God gives us a new community. And finally, the fourth box in that big box that we unpack all the way down is that God gives us a new destiny. A new destiny. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says these words: God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of any change and decay. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we receive the free gift of eternal life. We receive heaven for our very own. It's an indescribable gift. It's an unchangeable gift. It's a gift that we will all receive of those of us that are Christ followers. On this planet, when we spend eternity, we will spend eternity together in heaven with him for all of destiny. Because of our new identity, our new ability, our new community, and our new destiny, he gives us a new mandate. Now, I can barely see because the lights are down right now, but I can see some of you people. How many of y'all heard over the last several weeks the word mandate on the news? There's a new mandate. Oh, man, it's just banging out there, right? There's a new mandate. There's a new mandate. Let me tell you something. For the Christ follower, we have a brand new mandate every day that we're alive on this planet. The Bible says you are the light of the world. Jesus, in the greatest sermon that was ever written, preached by the greatest preacher that ever preached, Jesus of Nazareth himself, he said these words: let your light shine before men, so they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, my dear friends, as Christ followers, we can't just sit back on our laurels. We can't just sit back and enjoy the goodness of God's grace. Yes, we can, but we have a mandate to be the light of a world. This world is dark. This world needs our attention. It needs us to let our light shine before men. Ephesians 3, and I close with this, and we pray that we're able to feel and understand how long and how wide and how deep and how high God's love is for us really is, and experience his love in our lives. But he not only lets us experience his love, he wants us to activate the mandate to let our light shine before men. Oh, my dear friends, Jesus came to give us amazing love. I'm challenging us to let this candle lighting portion of our gathering tonight be a reminder that we, as followers of Jesus, are the light of the world.